Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Welcome to Life and Art from FT Weekend. I'm Lila Raptopoulos, and this is our Friday chat show. Today, we are talking about Netflix's buzzy new show, Three Body Problem, an 8-part sci-fi series based on the best-selling Chinese trilogy by Liu Cixin, which is out now. The show is a sprawling epic that spans different worlds, timelines, and dimensions. It begins as a murder mystery with a group of elite scientists mysteriously dying, presumably by suicide. But it gets even weirder very quickly. There's a subplot set in the Chinese Cultural Revolution. At one point, a bunch of sun-dried humans who've been rolled up like carpets get reinflated in a pond and come back to life. There are aliens. Basically, there's a lot going on.
When your consciousness ends in one world, it could continue to exist in many other worlds. And if my life
is like the dust, what do you think is happening?
Three Body Problem is a big deal because it was created by the ambitious team behind Game of Thrones, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. It also had a reported budget of $200 million. So today we're going to talk about it. I'm Lila, and an invisible woman just lit my cigarette. Joining me in London is our work and careers journalist, Emma Jacobs. She often writes about television for the FT, and rumor has it she's currently seeing a countdown that's making her act pretty weird. Welcome, Emma.
Hi.
Also in London is Madhumita Murja. Madhu is our AI editor and the author of upcoming book Codependent, which has just been longlisted for the Women's Prize. She's also just watched The Heat Death of the Universe on her VR headset. Hi, Madhu. Welcome.
Hi.
So nice to have both of you here in person.
Thanks for having us.
Lovely to be here.
Okay, so why don't we just get into it? Top line reaction. What did you both think of this series? Emma, let's start with you.
I thought, what the fuck? I mean, I just thought there was so much going on that I couldn't really get my head around what it was. I think that I felt very mixed. I felt that it was quite confusing. It was a kind of history lesson and sci-fi and a physics lesson in different countries, in different periods. So I found that quite complicated, but at the same time, I found it very intriguing. I liked the kind of Chinese stuff, and I found that actually some of the scenes that were located in China and the Cultural Revolution were great, mm-hmm. and it made me realize that we don't see that much of it. I found the problem with it was that they weren't very emotionally engaging. I didn't really get many. There weren't very good relationships between people. I mean, there's no love match, or there was a kind of like flicker of romance, which is fine. You know, it's not that I need a sort of sex scene in every episode, but it's just kind of like
maybe one.
I just wanted some sort of emotional core, and I guess it was the kind of central character, the Chinese scientist, but you kind of wanted more of it.
Yeah. And just to clarify, some of the TV show is set in 1977 during the Cultural Revolution, and then it sort of fast forwards to modern day, you know, Oxford
and past days, and then, in a VR set,
yes, and then past days and future days and who knows what day. Madhu, what about you? Did you like it?
So I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
The first episode I felt like was intriguing and drew me in. But then the more I watched it, kind of that's when it got really complicated. And I was thinking, you know, like Emma, who are the people at the heart of this that I'm rooting for? Mm-hmm. And is this just a series of plot lines? But actually, I've got about halfway through now. I found at this point, I am enjoying it and I'm feeling the threads coming together. And, you know, I thought it was quite original, quite brave, some of it, to kind of try and explain things like the multi-universe or world phenomenon in quantum physics, for example, you know, VR gaming technology. There were a lot of kind of cutting-edge tech stuff thrown in there, and it could seem like a mishmash or just trying to kind of get to the hottest, latest topic. AI, you know, right. VR, what else? What are the other buzzwords? But weirdly, it worked for me. And yeah, I think actually one of the scenes that really surprised me was the first time one of the characters entered the VR gaming world. Mm-hmm. I have tried VR headsets, but they always make me feel sick. Mm-hmm. I'm not a gadget geek. But it was just like such a compelling experience, the way it was portrayed and how it felt. They could smell everything.
Right. So the idea of what actual good VR could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Watching people kind of be freaked out by it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the fact that they were like engaging with other beings in this world.
Right.
And, you know, I actually found that like really interesting and I wanted to see where it went.
You're right. The VR headset was like what the PRs tell you it's going to be like.
Yeah, what it really is.
Exactly.
Right. Like,
exactly.
This is just really heavy and I feel a bit nauseous.
And for context, basically they're in the modern world. These people come across this VR headset from sort of the future and they put it on and it like is this amazing version of VR that everybody's promising us but never seems to be.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with both of you in that, you know, it took some time. It took a lot of focus in the first two episodes. I kept falling asleep and having to rewind it. So it took me quite a long time to get through those. But then it hit, you know, by the third episode or so, it started to all make sense. The world started to come together. And I started to actually crave it in a weird way. But the thing that made me actually sort of like it is when I thought to myself, what is this about? And it felt to me like it was about whether it's too late for us to save ourselves. And that's an interesting question. What was it about for you? If you had to explain it in one sentence, what do you think it was really about?
For me, it was who are humans in a world where there are beings more powerful than us with better technology, who can, I don't know, manipulate what we see,
mm-hmm.
And get into our brains. So like, where does that leave us? Do we have any agency in this world? And
yeah.
Like, is science the answer to it all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like you, Lila, I thought it was about whether we're worth saving as well. And mm-hmm. kind of, you know, is that, I mean, I don't normally kind of give into pessimism like that. I mean, but you do, there is a kind of doomsday aspect about it, you know, whether we should just end it now, which I thought was kind of interesting to sort of, I mean, sometimes you see kind of doomsday cults, but this in a way, depicted on television, but this in a way kind of made you really think about it, you know, like, are we worth saving? The idea of a pacifist alien was fantastic.
I will say, actually, that makes me think, and I will say it to our work and careers expert. Late last night, I was watching it way too late, and I got off, and I, for some reason, just as I was going to bed, clicked on LinkedIn and started reading people's LinkedIn posts. And they were so... I just felt sort of like, no, I don't think we're worth saving. Like, it really changes your perception of everything. Because you're reading it like everyone's saying, like, on International Women's Day, I'm so happy to be a mom and a, you know, working woman. It just was all felt like such fluff that I was like, forget it.
I think that's take one tip aliens. People should have. Don't click on LinkedIn after watching it.
I'm wondering how you both think this fits into prestige television. You know, the background of the show that's really interesting to me is that these creators were looking for something that would hit the way Game of Thrones hit, in that, like, they clearly were good at taking an already popular series or franchise like George R. R. Martin's books and then making them into a show that has this mass appeal that, like, suburban parents can love and also obsessive fans can geek out on a Reddit thread. And they obviously did that really well. Over the years, there are all these projects that fell through. But finally, they found this, which is this best-selling trilogy from China. It's popular in the West, too. Obama loved it. Mark Zuckerberg said he loved it. And that's what they're trying to... It feels like that's what they're trying to do, is sort of make this the next Game of Thrones. I'm curious if you think that this has the potential to be that.
I mean, I think it could. I think because you can watch it at different levels, like me just not really making sense of anything that was going on and kind of drifting through it. I could sort of see it as a kind of teenage parent watching thing, or I don't want to just, you know, be too easy to say, yes, it's the kind of science fiction geeky thing. I don't think it is that, because it does, it is kind of Game of Thrones world building and Stranger Things. You know, you create quite elaborate systems, and it does feel like there hasn't been something for a while that's got everyone talking about in the same way. And I think that people are kind of casting around trying to find, it does feel like there's both a kind of gap for another world-buildy exercise, and also possibly, is this what people want? Are we looking for new formats as well?
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. Maddie, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough one. So I think the way to make it resonate at that scale, like Game of Thrones, because ultimately Game of Thrones, yes, it was fantasy, but it was really about the interpersonal relationships, the power dynamics, you know, all of that really human stuff that grips us, you know, like sex and incest and, you know, war and all of, you know, really kind of fundamental stuff. I felt with this, that still wasn't all the way there. There were glimmers of that. And what this had, I guess, is a lot of kind of very current elements from even things I'm reporting on.
Oh, that's interesting. Like what?
One of the things that struck me was the Chinese-American scientists. So one of them was Chinese, the other American, and how they weren't really allowed to communicate. Mm. They had to do it in secret because, you know, they weren't, you know, the CCP wasn't, you know, they weren't supposed to talk to Americans at the time.
Right. This but is she, in the 70s during the Cultural Revolution.
Exactly. And so, you know, but she did it anyway and reached across the sort of political divide because they were scientists and ultimately kind of united by that. And that's happening now with AI. Mm. You know, I've reported on this and we're going to do more on the sort of track two talks happening between scientists in the US and China, who, even though there are, you know, currently a sort of new Cold War happening there with chip sanctions and everything.
Yeah.
You know, actually scientists want to come together on this, and they feel that AI is too important to be divided along these kind of political lines, and they feel like they should come together to kind of find a solution, make sure it doesn't go rogue or doesn't go wrong. So I thought that was really kind of interesting that it reflects what we're seeing with the AI story today.
Yeah.
I feel like there's just lots of interesting contemporary issues, but to really be like a blockbuster kind of that touches everyone, it needs to be
human.
Like human and appealing at that level.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's quite there yet.
Yeah,
I completely agree. And that's really interesting about the scientists reaching across. I mean, it was a theme in For All Mankind as well. I don't know if you've seen that. That was great. I mean, in the area that I look at work, there's always questions of, you know, worklessness. What is the validity of being a human at this point? You know, what do humans add to anything? Which is sort of one of the questions that this TV series asks, you know, like, should we just do away with humans? You know, what is the point of them? But it did need more human relationships. You just needed to kind of zero in on some human character and development, or and like love story, there was none, which was kind of unusual. There was a lot of smoking, actually. It was the kind of smoking indoors.
There was a lot
was
of
one
smoking.
Thing I noticed.
Yeah, modern day smoking inside.
Unusual.
That was nuts. I'm one of the few people in the universe that didn't watch Game of Thrones, but I felt very left out listening to people describe the plot, and it always felt so wacky and impossible to follow. And I did feel that this had that. Like when I explained the plot to my producer, Lulu, before we came in, I found myself like being like a Game of Thrones person, being like, then they roll the people up like rugs, then, you know, creepy woman shows up and she said that aliens were coming.
I found that really emotional, actually, the rolling up of the people and throwing them into the ocean. It was weird.
It's funny.
Maybe it's because
I
was by myself and the children were asleep upstairs. I was like, oh my God, they're coming back to life. They've been rehydrated.
Right, exactly. Then, you know, like the gravitational pull of the suns is pulling the human computer army up into the sky. I sounded nuts, but I felt like, okay, maybe I'm it. Maybe I'm a, you know, this version of Game of Thrones person. But I guess like my last question about that is just like, you know, what does this suggest that Hollywood thinks that we want out of our television? And is it what we actually want?
I think that, well, who knows? I mean, I think they just keep throwing things at different, see what sticks. I think that if you can create a really compelling series that builds on the last series and you get deep into the characters and you know, and to some extent create a world, if you get invested in that world and you kind of understand the fault lines and the kind of politics, I think it's great. And if you can get another one of those, that's great too.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what it is Hollywood thinks we want, but at least it's not just a remake or like a sequel of another, you know, superhero kind of well-known story.
Yeah.
I think it's brave to try and get people to engage with like quantum computing or, you know, time travel at that sort of level, astrophysics.
Mm-hmm.
And on the AI front as well, like I thought there were some moments of like clarity and like quite moving bits, which you don't hear when you talk about AI in like news so much. Like there's this voice, isn't there, which is the AI overlord or the alien / AI, I don't know what it eventually becomes. But you know, where it says humans lie and it's like realizes that human beings lie to one another and says, well, in that case, like we don't know how to do that and we see you as a threat. And I just think that like, it's addressing like some of actually quite interesting questions coming up around new AI technologies, and that if it was able to kind of push a bit further into those, it could be something really original.
Yeah. Amazing. Eman Madu, this was so great. Thank you so much. We will be back in just a minute for More or Less. Welcome back for More or Less, the part of the show where each guest says something they want to see more of or less of in culture. Madu, what do you have?
So I've been making my way through the long list for the Women's Prize for Nonfiction. It's the inaugural year that they're doing it for nonfiction.
Mm.
And I'm just like amazed by the variety of stories and voices. And so I think we need more nonfiction by women about more topics, including serious, you know, science, tech, history.
Yeah.
I would love more of that.
Okay, great. Relatedly, it's quite nice to have three women talking about sci-fi.
Yeah.
This episode.
I know.
Great. I totally agree. Emma, what about you?
I think to repeat a theme that I've probably mentioned before, more short things.
Yes.
I like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I really like Netflix's Torre.
I enjoyed that too.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Netflix's
Torre.
Torre.
I think that's how you say it.
No.
It was a Swedish, if I say it's like a male gay Swedish Fleabag, I'm going to kind of do something crappy, but they're kind of, but it was really neat and it was really good. Mm. And I really want people to watch it so they can talk about it.
Okay, great. So more short things.
More short things.
Yeah. I'll put all of the suggestions in the show notes too. I also have three mores this week.
Three mores.
I would say more sort of digging into every little enclave of your city. I am deep in writing this piece that's gotten way too long for Globetrotter, which is our city guide. That's partially about how Chinatown is changing in New York. And I learned in the process that the Chinatowns in Queens and in Brooklyn have gotten bigger than the Chinatown in Manhattan. It's like shrinking at a rapid pace and, you know, could be in 20 years like what Little Italy is in New York, which is almost gone. And it reminded me that our cities cycle in such a sort of sometimes painful way. And so while we have things, we should appreciate them. So go to Chinatown. I don't know, like go eat in the places that we have because they might change. Yeah.
That's a nice one.
Yeah. So much has disappeared recently.
I know.
From our high streets, like the little ones where I live as well.
And really?
Constantly, yeah, it's just cycling through at a rapid pace.
Yeah, it really is. Give small businesses your business. Madu, Emma, thank you both so much for coming on the show. This was a real pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That's the show. Thank you for listening to Life and Art from FT Weekend. Take a read through the show notes. We have links that expand on everything mentioned today, including all of Emma and Madu's recommendations and a place to pre-order Madu's book. Every link that goes to the FT gets you past the paywall. Also in the show notes is a discount to a subscription to the Financial Times, a very good discount, and ways to stay in touch with me on email and on Instagram. I love hearing from you.
I am Lila Raptopoulos, and here's my talented team. Katya Kumkova is our senior producer. Lulu Smith is our producer. Our sound engineers are Breen Turner and Sam Javinko, with original music by Metaphor Music. Topher Forges is our executive producer, and our global head of audio is Cheryl Brumley. Have a lovely weekend, and we'll find each other again on Monday.